Will you pray with me, please? Father, now we lift our hearts to you and I lift my voice to you. Pray that you would give me the boldness to speak the gospel with charity, with love and with power, that because, Lord, you are our strength, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I have to assume that many of you, like me, were proud of the women of the South Carolina women's basketball team. I mean, you just, listen, even you Clemson fans had to be proud of them. Isn't it great? I mean, the fact that they won a national title, two national titles, 3 years, within 3 years. Two titles. Amazing. And the fact that they did it with almost a whole new front five. Well, were we surprised, though, after they had such a great accomplishment, that in fact there was criticism? You know, these days, because of social media and 24-hour news cycles and so forth, it always is amazing to me how haters sort of rise to the top, people who are critics. Even the Masters last week, I mean, is there anything, it's like Disney World with a golf course. You know? I mean, it's so well run, and yet haters, criticism always rise to the top. It's just amazing to me. It's sad that we are surprised by criticism. They are attacks that come from without and from within. Attacks on people, attacks by, in fact, the evil one whom we called Satan. This morning, as we stop to read our Bibles, we hear the Acts of the Apostles. We hear about the Acts of the Apostles. Now that they've received the Holy Spirit, they've been inspired by Peter's sermon. And the disciples, the 12, the new 13, go and they're speaking the gospel. They're speaking the word of God to people. And because of that, there comes the first attack from without. Now, this morning I want to show you a pattern in Scripture in the first 6 or 7 chapters of Acts that you can see that recognizes about something for the church, for us, and also for us individually. That attacks come to us, and they're almost like a pattern. First, there was the attack from without, then an attack from within the body, the people, the faithful, then an attack from without again, and then another attack from within. So here they are now. They've been preaching and sharing the gospel, and the first attack comes on the new church, the firstborn church, and it comes from whom? Not the Romans. It comes from the faithful Jews. It comes from the chief priests. It comes from the Sanhedrin. They bring in the court, and they say, you know, what are you doing? You're proclaiming this Messiah. Here's what they say. After they speak to them, the Sanhedrin says, what shall we do with these men? Through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that they may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So basically they said, all right, go ahead, but don't do that anymore. Well, it's always important about how we respond as Christians, as people of faith, to the attacks in life. How did they respond? We heard it this morning. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And finally what they did was they prayed and they said this, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. Continue to speak your word with boldness. So did they go and do what the Sanhedrin told them to do? No, they didn't shut up. They prayed and said, now give us boldness to do it even more, even more. So the first attack from without. You know, we read the Bible, folks, because we recognize that the Bible interprets itself. The Bible interprets itself. If you read the Scripture in the entirety, you can see that, in fact, it explains itself within itself. The Bible also interprets you and me. You know, it interprets life. And the Bible tells us about the attacks on the first family. Now, I'm not talking about Joe Biden. The attacks on the first family, Adam and Eve. What happened after the first family became a family? Well, here comes the serpent. Here comes the snake. With that attack. So there was the attack from without. And not to go into that, but because I have read the first three chapters of Genesis. But what happened after that? There was attack from within. Two sons fighting amongst themselves to the point of murder. So you see, the Bible tells us of the pattern of evil, tells us of the pattern of Satan, tells us of the pattern of our own sinful natures, tells us of the pattern. So why? So we can be prepared. So we can know how to bring faithful response to it. So we can know how to respond such that people's lives are changed, healed, and blessed, not just crucified. Wow. So again, just to give you this pattern one more time, if I can, just to give it to you very briefly. The attacks on the newborn church. First, there was in chapter 4, the arrest, as I just said, the arrest. And then they prayed and they said, Lord, give us the boldness to keep doing this. The next attack came from within, and that's from within the faithful. That was that Ananias and Sapphira, because they had heard the other apostles, the faithful, the disciples, who were in fact sharing their goods, they said, well, we're gonna go sell something ourselves and give it to the church. So they went and sold something, but they kept half of it, a portion of it. They kept a portion of it, and they went and said, here's everything that we sold. But what they did was they told an unnecessary lie. No one would have cared how much of it they gave, just the fact that they were going to give some. Praise God. But the unnecessary lie caused God to judge them, and it could have created corruption within the faithful. The next attack, again, came from without. So within, without, now within. And that is the Sadducees and the high priest, they thought, well, these guys haven't shut up. We got to do something with them. So they went back and arrested them again. This time they threw them in jail. What did they do? They prayed. And then following that came the next attack from within. And that was ethnic unrest. At that time, the complaint by the Hellenists against the Hebrews. So the Greek Christians were complaining against the Hebrew Christians, saying that we're not getting our fair share of attention or of the care of compassion. And so, again, a fight within the church. Have you ever thought about that a church could have a fight within itself? You're supposed to snicker a little bit of that. Sadly, we do know that too quickly, too readily, don't we? So the attack from without, we attack from within. So we have to recognize that as a pattern that we certainly, your leaders know as leaders of the church. But please also recognize that it's important to us individually, because that's the way the attacks come upon our lives, outside of us or within us. So the attack, what do you do? Well, thankfully, the disciples weren't ashamed or embarrassed. But sometimes we are. Sometimes we are. There was a time when I was in seminary, that was a couple years ago, and I was going to join a group of about maybe 9 or 10 students. We were going to go downtown. I was in Alexandria, Virginia. We were going to go down to Washington, D.C. to a Noel conference, to a Noel march. Noel was a national organization of right to life, Episcopal right to life. National Organization of Episcopalians for Life. There it is. We're going to go down to that march and support the idea of the right to life and to stop abortions and to be safe with mothers and so forth. Well, we got to the metro. That's the train that goes into Washington from Alexandria. And we were there on the siding waiting for the train to come in. As I said, there were 9 or 10 of us. And the fellow who was sort of the leader of the group, he was a senior. I wasn't. He was sort of, let's pray. So we all sort of gathered in a circle, and I'm thinking, so we'll stand there. I'm thinking he's going to say a nice little prayer. All of a sudden he goes, Dear Lord, raise up your hands that we might speak the gospel. I'm going, oh, my God. And we're surrounded by people. And I hate to admit, I was embarrassed. And I thought, and I had to stop. I'm in seminary, trained to be a pastor, trained to be a priest, and I'm embarrassed with somebody praying out loud that other people might hear. Folks, that was a learning moment for me. It was a learning moment. It was a learning moment about not to be a quiet Christian. See, the Bible interprets itself, and the Bible interprets us. Jesus said this. Remember, he said, if you are ashamed of me, Let me remind you what he said. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, it's easy for us to say that. What does it mean to take up your cross? It doesn't mean wear a cross. It doesn't mean get, you know, you've seen some people wearing crosses, you think, they don't know who Jesus is. It's just a piece of jewelry. Isn't that true? To take up your cross is, in fact, to make sure that you're identifying with being a Christian, that people recognize that you are a Christian. That's what it means to take up your cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me, for whoever is ashamed of me when he comes into his glory, let me get it right, okay, forever who is ashamed of me and of my words, him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Jesus, ashamed of me. Wow. Now, Scripture is very clear. He will never leave us. Deuteronomy and Hebrews both tells us this. It's the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. But he can be ashamed of us. Isn't that hard? That was a hard lesson I learned that day on that siding waiting for the metro. That why was I ashamed of being counted with the man who was praying? Why was I scared of that? Well, the disciples, they weren't ashamed or embarrassed. When they attacked, what did they do? Scripture tells us, and when they had prayed, they prayed for courage, boldness to tell the gospel in the name of Jesus. And they said, now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with great boldness. And what was the Lord's response? The Lord's response was this. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with great boldness. What happened? What happened after that? What was the fruit of that moment, that prayer, and then that, God's response to that? They shared. They began to share. Now, all of you, especially you moms, know this. Sharing is not an intrinsic trait, is it? Children have to be taught to share. We don't like to share. First word, second word is mom. Second word is mine. We don't want to share. But they shared. They shared their property. They shared their goods. They shared their things. They shared with each other. So the scripture tells us, let me find it. Now, with the full number of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own, but they had everything in common, and no one had any need. Wow, what an amazing thing. They shared, and because of that, now there was not any needy person. Well, okay, you may wonder why I'm talking about these Pentecost moments in Easter when we're supposed to be talking about resurrection. Well, what I have to tell you is that was a resurrection moment. You see, we have become too comfortable with the resurrection. We are too comfortable with the resurrection. We are comfortable with the resurrection because as faithful we say, well, I believe that Jesus, you know, was resurrected and walked out of that grave. And we might question, but we say, well, we know that's the center point. We believe it. And we believe and hold on to the point that, yes, when I die, I'm going to be resurrected. Dear Lord, help. But that's too comfortable with it. We don't realize that the resurrection moments are every day. Every day there are resurrection moments. We become too comfortable with the resurrection, just like sometimes we become too comfortable with the sacrament. We don't realize the power of what we're receiving, that it's living water, it's manna of life, what we're receiving. This is not just something that we say, here, take this. So we have to recognize those are resurrection moments. A few weeks ago, Pastor Jeremy did one of the most powerful things I've ever seen a pastor, a rector do. From this pulpit, he asked for your prayers. He asked for your prayers because he said, I have, my head is hurting, I have migraines, it's becoming debilitating to me, it's difficult to me. So what did he do? He asked for our prayers. And you prayed. We prayed. What a wonderful thing. We prayed, and the thing is that how powerful it was that he said, I have a need, will you pray for me? You see, too often, we clergy, we want to think, well, we've got it all together. Everything's fine with us. It's not true. We need the most prayer. We need the most protection because we're the ones in the most trouble, folks. one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. And then what was the response of that? The response of that is we prayed and we recognized that this is a healing moment. Now, is he healed? I don't think so yet. I hope he is. But that's not just the point. The Apostle Paul talked about the thorn in the flesh. Do you remember that? The thorn in the flesh. He said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh that kept me humble and so forth. But he said this about it. He said that he spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Well, that's what our pastor Jeremy was admitting. That in fact, his strength is not sufficient. But the strength of God and the strength of those of us who are praying is sufficient. That in fact, that there will be a wonderful blessing coming from that. It's called redemption. Now, Pastor Jeremy, I'm sure that he prays every day for boldness. I can promise you on Sunday mornings, he prays for that boldness. The same prayer those disciples prayed. Give me the boldness, give me the clarity, give me the health, the strength. Proclaim your word, God. What a powerful thing. And when he prayed, that was resurrection. And it was us. That was resurrection. And it was us. You see, we were resurrected to stand up out of our seats and come forward and pray for him. We were resurrected to come and to say, wait a minute, our pastor is real. And he's someone that we can say, yes, I need to pray for him just like I need prayer. This is a real thing where we are Christians together and we know that God is working with us and helping us. The attacks from without, the attacks from within. But what do? We pray. Yes, initially, in many respects, this is a call, this scripture is a call to the quietly Christian. I call them the blushers. I call them that they blush because they're ashamed. Because they're ashamed, they're the blushers. When Jesus comes into his glory, in this landscape that's filled with angels and the Father and humanity, slumped between the bold saints and the bold and unrepentant sinners, are going to be those blushers who knew the gospel but were ashamed ever to live it. The quiet and the Christian. And so, yes, this scripture calls us to say, to pray, to be bold enough to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'll put up a sign in my front yard that gives a blessing to people. Yes, I will wear a cross. But yes, more than that, people will see me sharing in missions, in ministry, to say, yes, I am a Christian. The most important thing we can do as a Christian is, you know what it is? Forgive somebody. To walk in forgiveness. So, yes, those are resurrection moments. Our embarrassment is the blush on our cheeks, our accumulation of small moments in which we harmlessly choose love over reputation, love for esteem, love for ease, love for money, love for our own lives, choose love for our those things over our care for Jesus and for the souls of others. May we not be ashamed to be counted among the apostles. May we not be ashamed to be counted among the disciples. May we not be ashamed of being needy, of saying, I need help. I need prayer. I need that because the attacks from without, needing help, forgiveness, redemption, restoration. May I not be among the blushers. But also remember, the Bible interprets life. The Bible interprets life, and there will be attacks on you, each one of us individually. Attacks from without, whatever that is, from between disease or other people or broken world, and attacks from within, our own broken, weak, and sinful nature. You know, I have no help within myself to help myself. But remember the resurrection moments. Remember this. Remember those resurrection moments and all those four attacks. And if I had until 2 o'clock today, I'd tell you about them all. See if you're still listening. All those moments, there was great redemption and resurrection. Redemption and resurrection. Well, when the attacks come from within, when the attacks come from without, we simply do what the Bible interprets for us to do, and that is we pray. And when they had prayed, there was resurrection. And when they had prayed, there was resurrection. Thanks be to God. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Amen.